Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Wednesday, Muad'Dibs. We're talking about fingering some consoles today.
There are four holes, John. There are four holes. That is a Star Trek reference that you don't get.
Nope. I don't. But that's okay, because I'm not a Star Trek nerd like you. If you're a Star Trek nerd, cool.
Shut up.
Shut up, nerd. No, we love all of our nerd friends. We're picking up right where we left off. We are talking about minute 97 through 98 of Dune Part 2. Yesterday we left off with Chani and Paul and Gurney and Stilgar, which I feel like we should have a group name for them. But you know what? It's Chal and the boys. So,
Or Chusel and Co.
Chusel and Co.
Yeah.
All right. I can dig with Chusel and Co. All right. Yeah. It's Chusel and Co. Walking up to the totally inconspicuous Atreides door that is, you know, definitely well hidden. And, Gurney walks up to this console. And he kind of turns to Paul and says, only with your genetic heritage will the door open.
Yeah.
And Paul,
let's talk about this just for a second.
Okay.
That's a weird way of just saying, hey, your DNA opened the lock.
But it's Gurney. He's got to like fluff up his...
I guess. So I wanted to ask, like, do you think he means something different than just DNA? Or is this, like you just said, Gurney just embellishing?
I think it needs to directly be one of the children of Leto, not just any Atreides.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I assumed, but your genetic heritage feels like it means something different than just, hey, only your DNA can open this.
Yeah. Maybe it's tuned specifically to all of Paul's genetic. I don't know.
I have no answer.
Or maybe he's just fucking fluffing the words.
I have no answer to this. I have the question. That's it.
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird way of phrasing it. When Chani entered the cave here.
With the shaky breath and everything.
She was looking concerned.
Yeah.
Apprehensive. Anxious even. At this point, she looks downright terrified.
Yeah.
Paul walks up. And puts his four fingers in the holes.
Earlier, he put his right hand in the box. His left hand goes in the holes.
Yeah. And I wondered if he's like, I've been through this before. I know it's going to happen here. Yeah. It's going to hurt real bad. I'm going to pull him out and be fine.
Yeah.
If he was at all thinking about the Gamja Bar in this moment.
Probably not.
But I would have been.
Instead of pain, what we get is a very satisfying, like, lock clicking thud. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Whew. Whatever Foley artist, you did good. You did good.
Yeah. And the door rolls away. It's a circular door.
It is.
Because we didn't really see the shape of the door before, but we get to see it.
You could see that it was a circle before. Okay. It's just a little difficult because it is a dark scene.
Yeah.
But you can certainly see what it is.
Gotcha. So it rolls away very Jesus on the Third Day-esque.
But instead of an empty tomb, we have something different. You know what we have, Zach?
A mini glow globe.
We have a miniature motherfucking glow globe.
Oh.
A motherfucking glow globe. Because it's a small one, so it's a motherfucking glow globe.
Okay, well, I'm still excited about it.
Oh, no, but don't get me wrong. I'm very happy and very excited about this. Low-key, one of the saving graces for this week.
I agree. I totally agree. We need merch.
So you were asking me a couple weeks ago which glow globe I would have taken?
Yeah.
This was it.
Ah, nice. That's a good one.
The miniature one to fit on the bookshelf. I did say an Atreides one, but this was the one that I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's really cool. God almighty. This is best. It's a travel globe. Mm-hmm. Just every ounce counts when you're out in the desert. So, you know, you got to have your tiny little glow globes. And man, oh man, it doesn't do as good of a job as the full-size glow globes in lighting up stuff.
I would argue...
It does a very specific job.
Yeah, I would argue that it does a better job because it's a more pointed, focused beam of light rather than just being like incandescent to the whole room. Mm. It's got this really cool ring. All right, so imagine in your head a tire, because that's what the Atreides glow globes kind of look like, right? Yeah. It's like that tire shape. And then it's the beam of light right across the circumference, right down the middle of that tire, or that wheel shape. And it's like super pointed and super focused, and the glow globe kind of goes like sideways through the opening cavern, which is also circular. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes out into the larger room, it like rotates, and we see the beam of light like rotate around the room as well to like everything up. It's so cool.
So fucking cool.
And like, you know, the VFX for this, I'm honestly very surprised. Art and Soul has nothing on this room at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Because the group walks forward into this very large chamber. And from Gurney, we hear your great-great-grandfather's legacy. Now, did you take any chance or any moments to look up who he's referring to?
No, I did not.
Okay. So,
I would assume it is the grandfather of the old Duke.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, depending on which source of canon...
Whose canon we're talking about here?
So if you're following the Brian Herbert canon, that is Miklos Atreides. If you're following the Dune Encyclopedia, that is Philippos the 15th Atreides.
Okay.
So they both agree that Leto the First was Paul's father. They both agree that the old Duke or Minotaurus, I think is...
I don't remember what his name was. Yeah,
something similar to that was Leto's father. As you go further than that, they kind of split. So we got two possible names for Paul's great great grandfather. Again, depending on your canon of choice.
Sure. Mine being the encyclopedia, of course.
Sure, sure. Now I tried to look up dates for all this. Nothing. No dates match up to anything that's of relevance. I mean, the great convention we mentioned last week happens at like 7 B or 7 AG. I mean, it's like something that happens super early on.
Yeah.
Which is what we'll talk about here a little bit later in this episode. I want to bring that back up.
But. And we did talk about the great convention as well in our episode with Chome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about it a little bit during our summer school episode on the Spacing Guild too.
Sure, sure.
So definitely make sure that you take, you know, if you want to know more about it in more depth, definitely check out those two episodes.
Yep. We go into this, this large, like cavernous, room, and the glow globe's illuminating what it can. And we see these, silver metallic columns that just line the wall, and there's a fuck ton of them.
Yeah, there's just rows and rows and rows.
Yep. How many to be exact? The 92 original Atreides family atomic warheads is what Gurney says.
Now that is power, according to Gurney Halleck.
Yeah.
Mr. Gung-ho pushed the button.
Yes. Gurney is very much a general ripper from Dr. Strangelove in this moment. Like, just full-on gung-ho, drop the bombs, let's go.
Gurney learned to love the bomb before anyone else.
Right. So, the Great Convention. Let's do a little bit of a primer on that.
Okay.
It was the... Or part of it. It had a lot of stuff. Part of it was the rules on atomics.
Okay.
So the rule, as it was stated in the Great Convention, is that it outlaws the use of atomic weapons on other people.
Sure.
Now, it was very specific for a very good reason, because it didn't want to outlaw the ownership of atomics, but it did want to prevent them from being used on other people. Now, that might sound like a humanitarian aim, but if you look at it from this perspective, I think it was really just a way that a lesser house would not get atomics and use them on a greater house.
Right.
To take their place.
Yeah. It was a power balance check thing.
Yeah. Preservation of the great houses.
Yeah.
So the reason I was looking up dates for the two possible Atreides is that the Atreides were a major house at the Great Convention.
Yep.
I would have assumed they would have had atomic weapons at that point, since they were just coming off a war. But great-great-grandfather is about 10,000 years too short.
Yep.
So what happened? Like, why are they saying this only happened at the great-great-grandfather? This seems to be a little bit of a time flub.
Sure.
Probably would have made sense to not introduce a great great grandfather into this, because we don't talk about him ever again.
No, and it's kind of a weird like specification, because Gurney could have said something to the effect of, this is the Atreides family legacy.
Right.
And it would have
been perfectly in sync with everything.
Yeah.
But now that you've specified great great grandfather, and we have no other information on who this great great grandfather is, that's strange.
Unless the Atreides had used all their atomics before, and then this great-great-grandfather is the one that
built them back up. But that's nowhere. I mean, that's just headcanon that we're coming up with.
Yeah. I don't know.
So it's just strange. I mean,
maybe it's just a way to convey to audience goers who haven't been, you know, fully immersed in Dune lore, that the Atreides have had these atomics for many generations.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that really is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
But then again, the Atreides family atomic warheads, we've had these for a long time. that could have been the line, which is a dumb line. I know. Yeah. I'm not a writer, but you know, something along those lines.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're picking nits. Yeah. So yeah, we get 92 warheads in this room. Now that is power. And Chani is...
He's just got a big-ass grin on his face the whole time.
Absolutely does, yeah. Chani's once again giving her concerned, scared face, and like I said, rightfully so.
Her fears are realized at this point. Yeah, she's absolutely looking at this like, what the fuck?
Yeah. This is not something like that the Fremen are used to at all. Like they're not used to this kind of weaponry.
To quote Gurney Halleck just from last week, no need to be a prophet to see what's ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chani's not a prophet, but she knows.
She does. And I honestly think that a large portion of her fear and apprehension right now is just how excited Gurney is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that would make me fucking nervous too.
Yeah. Yeah. If you showed up one day and you're just like, that zealous about something that insane, I would definitely have some reservations too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we're kind of ragging on Chani a little bit, but no, she is 100% founded in these concerns.
I'm fully team Chani in this case.
Yes, absolutely. Cool. That's all I got for this minute, man.
All right. Well, like I said, Art and Soul has nothing on this entire room or so anything. Yeah.
I wonder if it was because it was all just CG. No, there's not really much to talk about.
I don't think it was CG at all, but
this room, I think the room was, maybe not the outside cavern portion.
Yeah.
But the room with the weapons looks like it's all CG.
Maybe.
And that would be an easy thing to do CG, because it's not moving. It's just
it's a stagnant object. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. Well, we've got a few more things to talk about this week, so I think we'll go ahead and park it here for now, because our next two episodes for this week are going to be involving someone different. In the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online On Blue Sky, we are at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch. We'll be back tomorrow morning with another episode, and we'll see you then.
See ya.